Yes, most of you are familiar with this, but you can go to Luke chapter 8 and read the story, Matthew 9, and Mark chapter 5. But I'm going to say four things today. There are going to be four brief things. The first thing is that whether you think so or not, you've been snatched up and carried away by the demonic, by circumstances, by experience. When we heard the journey stories, we heard people that had an abortion, that were raped, that Herman being wrapped on the knuckles by a nun, that you can't hear God. We heard people snatched away that looked like they were being taken away from their destiny and what God wanted to do in them. So you've been snatched up and carried away by something. And I would say also by someone, possibly. But I want to give a distinction between being demon-possessed, as this man was, the demoniac, and being in chains. It's not the same. To be demon-possessed and in chains is not the same. You can have the chains released from you, which is the bondage put on you to keep you in control, and still be the demoniac man, the demoniac. You can have the demons released from you and still be enslaved. So you can be removed out of slavery, but still be enslaved. Repentance, thinking again based on what God is saying. We heard a lot of repentance stories. What belief, what lie did God go after? What did he say to you that countered the lie the enemy said, that countered your experiences? Each of us in each area, whether it's your family, whether it's your past, whether it's your future, whether it's your finances, whether it's your physical health, your mental health, or your emotional health, whether it's just in the desire to have ministry, each of us are bound up and caught away either by demons, by something that's very present and powerful, or by something equally as present and powerful of bondage to try to make us look like we're in our right mind. And Jesus came to set us free from both the demonic and those structures of religion that make us look like we're in our right mind, but we're not. So I want to get that clear, that the best thing we can do, the thing that brings us into the family of God, is just to say, I repent. I'm going to think again. I'm going to shift everything I thought before. I'm going to shift it on this new truth of him as Father, Jesus as Savior, and I'm going to live my life differently. But we don't just do it once. We need to be in a position of repentance. But it is so hard for us to be prosperous, for us to be doing well, better than the person next to us, better than another person, and to still see that we have a need. And people of the journey are people that have a need, that see, I need something more than I have right now. My finances are good, my family's good, but I need something more right here in this area. I'm still struggling with anger, depression, fear. I'm still dealing with judgment. I'm still dealing with things like that. We always are in need of the Lord. That's how we get our freedom, is we recognize that we need him. Often we're more uncomfortable, more comfortable with our craziness than we are with the Christ. And we see that in this scripture. They're very comfortable with this man being full of demons. They're very comfortable. They're more comfortable with him being full of demons, ripping his clothes off, breaking out of the chains, getting away from his guards, than they are him sitting at Jesus' feet being taught. When we're more comfortable with our crazy than we are with the Christ, then we know we have problems. But we begin to call our crazy Christ. We begin to call our crazy, well, this is what I do to manage my life. This is what I do to get through my life. Some are addicted to drugs, some to alcohol, some to Facebook, which we know some of you get on Facebook during church. We found that out the other night. Some of you text and check stuff, and you shouldn't, but you're addicted to it. You're addicted to your job. You're addicted to how you look. You're addicted to maybe even a church belief. And we've talked about being disloyal to what brought us here and only being loyal to the Lord. So you've been snatched up and carried away. When you remember that, when we see that, it's not just rape. It's not just abortion. It's not just adultery. It's not just addiction. It's not just the rat race. It's depression and anger and fear and friendlessness. It's all of those things. And the pain from that is often feels more comfortable and safer than turning to the Christ and turning to Jesus. And every one of us in here, every one of us in here is guilty of that right there. Every one of us in here said, I will manage my own pain outside of Christ. I'll use foreign substances. I'll use television to numb the pain. I'll use sex to numb the pain, or I'll use religion to numb the pain. They all lead to the same space. Second thing is, just like the demoniac, you need an amazing and bizarre encounter with God to set you free. One thing became the same of all of our stories, of our 7 or 8 stories that we told in my journey interviews, it all became the same. At one point, at some point, they clearly heard God say something that countered the lie they were believing. You can't hear God. You are hearing God. You're not worth anything. You're worth everything. I not only don't like you, I can't stand being around you, to I would do anything to be around you. You're a misfit. You don't fit anywhere in your family, your life, your work, your world, to you're a missing piece of the puzzle that I'm building. And it counters everything. And we had that once upon salvation. We need that over and over and over again. That truth that counters the lie. That life that counters death. That's what we're seeking. That's when we gather. That's when we come together. We're looking for that amazing, bizarre encounter. I love the song that we sang. It says, my chains are gone. I've been set free. And I never saw it before that your chains can be gone and you can stand around in those chains. The prison door can be open. So what do you do after that amazing encounter? We see it here with this demoniac. He sits at the feet of Jesus. Now, some would only want to have amazing experiences without discipleship, without following, without this right here. But there's something about sitting at the feet of Jesus. When there's something amazing happens, we need to follow it up with sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it says he's in his right mind. And we can't dismiss this idea of sitting at the feet of Jesus. We can't dismiss church attendance. We can't dismiss being givers. We can't dismiss quiet time in Bible study. We can't dismiss traveling to Kairos. Well, 5 of us are leaving for training today for 4 days. I'm so proud of, we have about 20-something people that have gone to Kairos 1, another 10 of that have gone to Kairos 2. We want you to commit to going to that if you haven't already. Is it hard? It took Krisha 4 years to get up there because of work, because it has to fall on certain times. And so we want you to go to Kairos. We want you to watch the DVDs. We want you to be there in October when we have this 4-day workshop. It's a time to hear and to experience something big and new, and it's time to be discipled and to walk in a different way, to take that rightness in your mind that's coming through and to walk through that. You know, some believers at this point, something amazing happens, and then they keep praying. They keep waiting for something more amazing to happen. Instead, what they're supposed to do is stop praying and start acting like they just experienced something amazing. For a lot of us, we just procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate with more and more prayer. When God's saying, get up, get out of the boat, stretch forth your hand. He told Moses at one point in that story, he says, stop praying and start doing. Your prayer becomes procrastination. It becomes sin that opposes you. It becomes death inside of you, a fear to step out. And God's done something amazing in every one of us, not just the 7 or 8 that told their story. In every one of us, there's an amazing point where something's happened where we can start walking and doing and being somebody else. And it's those points where we're most damaged that God wants to do the most good. And we see that. We see that with Saudi's story. We see that with Herman's story. We see that with David and Ron. So Ron feels like God can't stand him. God hates him. Doesn't even want to be around him. He gets on some truth. He hears clearly. So at one point he believes he can't hear God. Now he has a ministry that helps people hear God. Awesome. And how much they love him. Herman gets his knuckles wrapped by a nun. No, you can't hear God. Bang! And then down the road, both of them decades down the road, not like overnight, they begin to hear differently. And Herman has a ministry of talking to God, and he hears God clearly, and he helps people be set free and cleanses their souls. And so think about that. Think about the very place where we're damaged, the very place where you're told you're ugly and you're no good. I was on the phone the other day with somebody, and they said that they're confused when somebody says that they're sweet. Because she gets a lot. You're so sweet. You're so kind. And she never feels kind. She never feels sweet. And so we just start talking about the lies that she hears and how she follows up with those lies and how she acts according to those lies. And God wants to do something right there in her life. And he wants to do something in your life. I'm going to correct that. He's already doing something in your life. And David Reed is a misfit. And he shared with us the pain. And you could hear in everybody's story some of the pain, couldn't you? The pain, even though it's redeemed and it's there and they're telling it and they're living a new life, an unimaginable life. And you hear that misfit, and then you hear how David fits all over. And we see, I started thinking about this as I listened to his message later on, his interview. Here's a guy that not only fits in church now, and his big thing is standing up at City Church 12, 13, 14 years ago and saying, "I'll lead if you need me to." Always have been afraid to lead up to that point for a long, long time, thinking that he was disqualified. And now here's a guy that leads all over the world, and he fits into different cultures. He meets with all these different people, and he fits. We're called to fit. We're a missing piece. And that's part of our story. That's part of sitting at the feet of Jesus. But you know what? So you have this amazing experience. You have this repentance. You realize, I am crazy. I'm tired of being crazy. I'm tired of being friendless. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of these memories dogging me and crying every time I think about this memory. I want healing. I want wholeness. And there's only one place to go. We have an amazing experience with Jesus. It's not an amazing experience with a worship band. It can happen during worship. It's not an amazing experience with a pastor. It can happen with a pastor. It can happen in counseling. It can happen wherever you are. And then we sit at the feet of Jesus. And this demoniac, what does he want to do? He wants to stay right there with Jesus. He wants to go home with Jesus. And we would say, of course he should go home with Jesus. Spend more time with Jesus. And Jesus is like, no. You go and you tell. And what it says when you combine the three, it says, you tell everything I've done for you. All the multitude of things I've done for you. And I thought, well, he only did one thing. He only set him free. But when Jesus sets you free, it's story upon story upon story. It's layer upon layer upon layer. It's a never-ending freedom that comes when Jesus sets you free. We get it upon salvation, and our repentance reminds us over and over and over again that I'm set free in this area. I'm no longer addicted. I'm no longer friendless. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer angry. I'm no longer judgmental. I'm kind, loving, peaceful. And he tells them to go tell people his story of all the things that God has done. He tells them specifically where to go. He says, go back to your house. Go back to the people who already knew you. Go back to those who already knew you. We're called and set freed, and salvation pulls us out of the ditch. And redemption not only cleans us up and we live way, way far away from the ditch. Redemption means we're so set free, we're so good that we go back and we pull people out of the ditch, pull people out of the pit, the very pit that we were in. The very pit that we were in, we pull people out of. Now remember, even before Jesus tells them to go, other people, the herdsmen that saw, it doesn't say in this gospel how many pigs the demons were cast into, but in another gospel it says about 2,000 pigs. Now, that's just crazy. You're in a boat. I mean, this is Jesus. He's a teacher. I mean, I imagine him always, he comes out with a three-piece suit and tie. Back in the 70s when you first start getting the story, Jesus steps out of a really nice boat onto a really nice dock, and he steps out, and a crazy man comes running towards him. And then... he casts those demons into pigs. The pigs run off a cliff into the water. And those people run back to their homes, to their villages, and tell people. So it's not just the people that experienced the newness. It's all the people that they went and told, and they bring them back, and they all are talking about it. We're supposed to be telling our stories. You're not supposed to tell my story. You can, but the big valuable thing isn't say Les says, or I learned at Kairos, although we do have some of that conversation. It's what's Jesus talking to you about? What did Jesus do for you? What does he continue to do for you today? What do you hope and believe he will do for you tomorrow? Go to your house, tell your story, share your journey. Share it. Set a pattern of how you will share your journey. Can you afford to take people out to eat and build a relationship with them? Do that. Can you bring them into their home? Do that. Who at work will you bless? Who at work will you begin to share your story over and over and over of what God's doing, what's God saying to you? I was around this guy. He's about Zeke's age. I've been around him for about a month now, and I'm not around a lot of people that need Jesus. You know, I'm around a lot of Christians. I work at a church. That would be kind of obvious. I'm around certain people, but long term, I'm not. I've woken up a lot of times at 3 o'clock in the morning the last 2 weeks. I woke up at 3 o'clock and I prayed for this guy, and I prayed something I've never prayed before. Let me, God, be the one that shares you to him. Let me be part of that. Let me share my story about what you've done, what you're doing, and what I hope you do in my life. Let me be that one, just in my story, as I'm around him. Who is in your story? Who are you telling about your story, about what Jesus has done? What's in your way of sharing? What's in the way of healing? What's in your way of repentance? Why aren't you repenting? We complain a lot about our marriages or about our finances or about our jobs or about our health. We Google how to get along better with my husband. I don't know if that would ever work. Have to be in a different language, wouldn't it? How do I make more money? How do I like my boss? How do I like my job? What about bringing it to him? What about asking him where you need to repent? What's in your way of thinking again, of thinking of new? What's in your way of saying, I am not free in this area? There's bondage in this area. Saudi had a great description of a puppet that she began to really believe in what the enemy was telling her. She had an experience that really solidified this right here, and things changed in her life, and she felt like she was a puppet, so she would just do these things and not want to, but do them. And when are we going to say, I don't want to be this angry person? I don't want to be this fearful person. I want to be this person over here. What's getting in your way? What's stopping you? What barriers to sharing do you need to have God knock down? And how are you going to walk towards him? Because it says in the scripture, in one of the gospels, that the demoniac man ran towards him as fast as he could. We should be running towards him as fast as we can. Go ahead and stand up. I want to go ahead and close. I want to close with a scripture. And please go read this story. Go ahead and bow your heads. 1 John 5:11 and 12 in the Message says, this is the testimony in essence. God gave us eternal life. The life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever rejects the Son rejects life. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to think of what your belief is. Is that belief settled and set just for eternity sometime after our death? Or is that belief in that life of Jesus that Jesus provides, is that your belief that it's life right now? That Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly? It means over and over and over. Waves of life into your life. Not just that the power of our death is settles it, and then I go to be with Jesus, and then I'm happy, but I'm miserable up to that point. I'm afraid up to that point. But that this abundant life, this eternal life that comes with Jesus, that it's a set thing, that it's in me, and it's a water that springs forward. That's the belief that I want you to have. That's the belief of the Bible. That's the story that Jesus comes to bring that's supposed to flow and emanate from us, the life that comes from in us. Not I'm in pain all the time, all my life, and then my death does more than the death of Jesus. It's the death of Jesus has done it. It's simple, it's pure, and he's in me. And his kingdom is flowing in me and through me. So I want to challenge your belief this morning. If for you abundant life is just some eternal salvation, which is good, that's a piece of the story, but that's not the entire story. There's a story right now happening of his life, and he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. Doesn't matter how much you know. If you're not tapped into Jesus, the simplicity of the cross, if you're not tapped into the one who is alive, the one who is life, then you'll struggle with death all the rest of your life. And we're people. People of the journey are people of life. And our stories are stories of life, of freedom, of redemption, of joy, of friendship, of happiness, of peace, of jobs that we love, families that we love, friends that we love. That's the story of the journey, of your spiritual journey, your practical journey, of us people on the journey. that are following the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for that. I just ask those that are struggling with wrong belief this morning, that they would line up their hearts, their minds, their beliefs with who you are, with what you came to do in and through them, which you've already done, but you want us to walk out in faith of who you are. We thank you for that. And upon our people that are here this morning, those that aren't here, I ask your blessing, your peace, your favor, your happiness in their relationships, your wholeness in their finances, your clarity in their emotions, your stability in their thoughts, and your favor in their jobs and in their homes and the places that they play. We just thank you for that. We thank you for your blessings. In your son's name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And don't forget, church at your house next Sunday.